Hello everyone, this is Salma, and I just want to say hello in behalf of Pastor Miguel and Pastor Lily Montana and the Word of Life family. We want to thank you for joining us this morning. Today's message is going to be amazing. I promise that your life and my life will be changed. I just want to let you guys know we are missing you, and most importantly, we are believing with you. I wish we can see each other in person, but in the meantime, we'll continue meeting this way. So don't forget to share the link with your family and friends so they could be just as blessed as you and I are on this lovely Sunday.
We want to thank again Pastor Vivian Ramirez for being with us. Amen.
Thank you so much for this amazing opportunity that we get to worship God together.
This world could never satisfy the longing in my soul when all is lost and hope is dry. When all I feel is cold, I'm coming back to your presence. I'm coming back to your presence. Cause there's a hunger and a thirst.
And the thirst
morning, everybody. I am Pastor Lily Montano.
And I am Pastor Miguel Montano. And on behalf of our family and the Word of Life family, we just want to say welcome this morning. Thank you for joining us. Today is a great day to serve the Lord. Amen. It's a great day to have church. And so I'm glad that you're joining us today. Perhaps you are at home watching. Maybe you're watching it in your car. Maybe you're watching it at work. Maybe you're watching us today, you know, throughout the week, not necessarily today on Sunday. So we just want to say thank you from the bottom of our heart. We sincerely mean that. We're grateful that you allow us to be part of your home today. And if I can ask, you know, every week we ask you, but if I can ask you, we can ask you today to share. Share because you care and you are a care bearer. I just made that up. Share because you care. That's so good. We're asking you this morning. I know we ask you every week because we know the value of it. In other words, when you share in your timeline, people that follow you, that not necessarily follow the church, but people that follow you, they'll be able to watch the service as well. So I'm asking you, if you take a moment just to hit share, it costs you nothing. It takes a fraction of a second, but you can be a tremendous blessing to people. And also, if you perhaps know a friend that is not a Facebook person, you know, they don't have a Facebook account, they can always go to WOLSB.com, to our website, and they can watch the service from there. Just a few announcements before we get started today. The week of the 4th to the 10th of May, we're going to have prayer. That's our prayer week. We're going to be praying from 6 to 7 p.m. via Zoom. This is on the week of the 4th to the 10th of May. We will give you more details next week as we get the Zoom link. Closer, yes. So we'll have it posted here next Sunday, and we will have it as well in our website and in our Facebook and Instagram page. Also, just so you know, the notebooks are in.
Okay. We have it.
So the notebooks are in.
So
they're
happy.
Real nice. They're real classy. This notebook, this kind of notebook, you can just flip the pages.
I love it.
You it's have so to cute. Flip the pages with your pinky up. Because this is like classy. A real, real classy, like Grey Poupon, you know, kind of notebook. So this is real, real nice. Real, real nice. So they are all in. So you should, they will be shipping out this week for those of you that are having one coming. If you didn't sign up at Easter, we love you, but we'll see you in the next notebook. Nah, just kidding. Also, prayer. What do you say about prayer?
If you are in need of prayer, please let us know in the comments.
Beautiful. Send us a message or in the comments as well. And before we go on, and I'm going to ask Pastor Lily here in a moment to share a little bit with us, because she was sharing with me a real good word that is going to strengthen you and encourage you, because it encourages me. I want to give a big shout out to our Kids Life, to all the people in Kids Church. They have done a magnificent, I'm not going to mention any names because I'm going to forget someone. However, they have done a magnificent job this past week, not only with the teaching, because every Tuesday we have a new teaching for kids, in our YouTube channel, a new teaching for them. And on Thursdays they do a Zoom room. But in addition to that, this past week they went all over. I'm talking about close. You ready? Close to about 70-mile radius.
Wow.
Do you believe that?
Wow.
They drove, they visited kids. Every single kid in our church had a bag. And if we forgot about your child, please let us know. But I don't think they did. They did a real good job. They went all the way from Santa Barbara, all the way to Ventura, and all the way to Lompoc. So they did it during different days, but they were a tremendous blessing. Irene. Irene is not even in Kids Church. She's in every ministry, right?
But
Ashley and the rest of the team, they made the bags and they drove all over, distributed. They even came to our house. And as soon as I opened the door, the first thing they say is, "What's for dinner?" No, they didn't say that. I gave him a banana.
That's a token.
That's all I have.
That's a token of our love.
That's all I have. But I just want to say thank you to our Kids Church. And if we miss your child, please let us know. Maybe could have been an oversight. You know, we completely understand. Please, and we ask you to understand, but we will take care of your child. Just don't make us go to Santa Maria or nothing like that. Just kidding, just kidding. And the last one, the last announcement is that we want to say thank you to all of you that have helped us with the sack lunches. By the end of this month, we will exceed over 1,000 sack lunches that we have passed. Yes,
amazing.
That was and
praise God. Thank
props
you.
To
yes.
everybody that has helped either making these lunches or distributing the lunches. We have made a science out of this, and we got it down. It's real, real fast the way we do it. But I tell you, we are blessed, and the people in the community are blessed. You know, we have had people that don't even come to the church help with the bags and so forth. So now we already taking dates for the month of May.
Amen.
So we've basically done everything is booked for this month, and we have some spots that have been filled for the following month for May. So we want to ask you if you want to help. If you want to be a blessing, we just want to ask you to make the sandwiches. And of course, we help you financially if you need help. Just make, and we call them sandwiches, but you can make something else as long as there's no liquids. No liquids and no mayo. Right? No mayo and no liquids, right? But you can do tomatoes, you know, and lettuce, you know, things within reason. Don't get all crazy. The homeless ain't trying to eat no salad, just so you know. So we ask you to make either a sandwich or a burrito, you know, something, maybe some chips, a fruit, maybe a bar or a cookie, something along them lines, and a water or a juice, and put it all in the bag. So in the morning, what we do it early in the morning, around 6:15, 6:30, we'll come to your house, we'll pick them up, and then we'll distribute them. And we try to whoever is the person that makes the bags, I always want to make sure that they get a few pictures of what they did.
Yeah.
Not that they're thinking that we're going to eat them, of course, certainly not, but more of them to see, you know, actually the
so
people
the
receiving yes the
on.
Bags. And then the last one, sorry, but wait, let me go back. If you can help us with the sack lunches, please let us know. Either send us a DM or put it in the timeline, and either myself or one of the leaders will get in contact with you to give you more details. And the last one is that this upcoming Wednesday, every Wednesday at 7 p.m., we are doing a Facebook Live with an Instagram Live at the same time. Last week, we had a Q&A time, so we had a great time together. So I want to encourage you to come and follow up with us this upcoming Wednesday. And today, I want to ask you to stay till the end. I promise you that today's message is gonna really encourage you. And I'm going to ask Pastor Lily, if she be so kind, to share a few words.
Yes, this is a good word for me, at least it was.
It's good for me.
It's good. But, you know, I was sharing with my husband, it's already been over a month since we started with the quarantine situation. And we have to see this as a new way of doing things, in a sense. I mean, that's one of the things that he was, when I shared with him, he told me, this is a new day, a new season,
new
yeah?
Season, yeah?
But it's, sometimes, you know, we are so used to a routine and an everyday rhythm that we get used to it. And it can become religion.
Yes.
And he always says, get out of the routine. I know that he's very famous of telling me that, because I'm one of those that like to plan things and have schedules. And I see this, that God is really breaking the routine. He wants us to see this in a different way. And we have to learn to be open and to be transparent to be ready to what he wants us to do. And sometimes we are so used to checking the blood, even when we pray or when we do things, because it's our schedule. Again, checking the block, it's our schedule of things. Okay, I've done this, I need to do this, I need to do that. And we have a set calendar, and again, a set way of doing things. And we have to really flow in the presence of God, flow in what God wants to do, and be open for what he wants to do in this season, in this moment, at this time. And I believe that it's a way of dancing in the presence of God. He wants to take us in a new way, a new rhythm, a freestyle. I see it as a freestyle. He wants to really take us to a new place in his presence. And I believe that, and I was even sharing with my husband, you know, it's we've been here 24/7, more than normal. I mean, because he's always busy. Even at this moment, he's been busy. But we have to get used to it. Maybe in our relationship, it's different as well. It's very different because we're not doing the same thing. So we have to be open
and be transparent in the presence of God. Okay, God, help me, teach me. What is it that I need to be open, you know, being open of what he wants to teach us. And I was reading this scripture in Psalm 16. And it, I believe it's very profound for what he wants to do in our lives right now. It says, this is out of the TPT, the Passion Translation. It says in Psalm 16, verses 2, I start, says, "So I said to the Lord God, you are my maker, my mediator, and my master. Any good thing you find in me has come from you." Amazing. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. And he says to me, "My holy lovers are wonderful, my majestic ones, my glorious ones, fulfilling all my desire." Look how amazing his love is towards us. It's like, wow, he sees us in a different way. Yeah. So says, and then we say, you know, and he says to us, we said to him, "Lord, I have chosen you alone as my inheritance. You are my prize, my pleasure, my portion. I leave my destiny and its timing in your hands. Your pleasant path leads me to pleasant places." I love this because it's like we are really pouring our hearts into his hands. What is it that you, my life is in your hands. What is it you want to do in my life? Amen. So it says, the way, and this is in verse 7, it says, "The way you counsel and correct me makes me praise you more. For your whispers in the night give me wisdom." And this is what God wants to do. He wants to give us wisdom. At this moment, at this time that we're going through this season, I believe that God wants to impart wisdom to change our routine, to change our ways, because he wants to lead us to a better place. Amen? To a better place as well. So verse 8 says, "Because you are close to me and always available, my confidence will never be shaken." We're unmovable, we're unshakable.
So
amen?
So
for I experience your wrap around my presence every moment. I love this. My heart and soul explode with joyful glory. We are so full of him. Amen? Even my body will rest confident and secure. I jump to verse 11. "For you bring me continual revelation of resurrection life. The path to the bliss that brings me face to face with you." God wants to have that encounter, that face to face encounter, to show us more of him, more of his glory, more of his plan, more of his purpose. And we can get, again, stuck in a routine. And I'm like, or think, oh my God, I need to go back to this. I need to go back to that. Enjoy this moment. I keep saying the same thing. Enjoy this moment. Enjoy this season, because I believe God wants to give us greater ideas, greater ways of doing things.
Yes.
Amen? So we need to just be open and dance in that rhythm, that new rhythm that he's teaching us. It's a freestyle. It's something that we're not accustomed, something that is different.
So
we have to be open to dance with him, to dance in his presence, even to our loved ones. We're building new relationship. This is totally new.
Levels, yeah.
We are doing new things with our children. We're doing new things with our groups, with our leaders, with our
church in general,
but even to our life groups.
Yeah.
This is a new way of doing things.
Yes.
And we're dancing. We're getting to know each other in a different way. And I believe that that's what God wants to do. He wants to open a new way of doing things. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
I like that. I like when you say, like, a new rhythm, because the first thing comes to mind is like we are accustomed to dance a certain genre of music.
Yes.
You know, like we accustomed to dance vals or hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
So you're accustomed to dance hip hop, and he says, "No, I want to introduce you to a new," and then we try to force the hip hop the old way, and God says, "No, this is a new rhythm. This is salsa."
His music.
So it's, I like that. I truly,
it's a new
truly
rhythm,
like that.
New way of
thank
dancing.
You, thank you. That's that's Psalm 16 out of the
16.
TPT. Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah,
you know, today I just want to say thank you as we speak a little bit about generosity. I want to say thank you for your faithful giving, especially during this time. And I want to encourage you today, out of the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. It says, "Each one of you must make up your own mind about how much to give. But don't feel sorry that you must give. This is very important. Wow. Don't feel sorry that you must give, and don't feel like you are forced to give, because God loves people who love to give. God loves people who loves to give. Sometimes people, when it comes about finances, everybody gets all tense. You know, even when you're at the church, sometimes, you know, we're in the service and you start speaking about finances, everybody get all serious because they don't have a revelation about giving. The Bible says, another translation says, that God loves a cheerful giver, somebody that gives and is joyful about it. And why are we joyful? We're joyful because we're obeying God. The Bible says that the tithe belongs to who? The Lord. The first 10% of my income, it belongs to who? It belongs to God. So when you give your tithe and your offerings, as sacrificial as it might be, you are joyful because you're what? You're obeying the word. Number two, you are joyful because you know that lives are being changed. Yeah. Through our giving, lives are changed, marriages are transformed, bodies are healed, minds are filled with peace. Through your giving, you're building his house. So first of all, I am joyful because of what? I'm obeying God. Second, I am joyful because lives are being changed. And number three, you are joyful because there's a reward coming your way. You are sowing seed, and when you sow seed with a joyful heart, watch this, when your heart is in the right place, you will always, always, always receive a harvest. So we are praying for you during this season, and we're asking for God to continue to multiply the seed that you have sown. We declare this from the very beginning out of the book of Psalms chapter 1, that those that are connected to the rivers of waters, in every single season, they will prosper. And I believe that is you that is watching today, you that are committed in your tithe and your offerings. And we declare in the name of Jesus that even during this season, you're gonna prosper. Not after this, no, during this season, because the word says in every season, you will prosper. Let's pray today and let's believe God for the blessing coming to your life. I wanna show you real quick right here. This is what real nails look like.
No color. I just cut them too, and I trim them.
It look real nice.
Yeah, I trim them.
It look real nice. So the nail lady, we ain't going back. We ain't going back.
You saving money.
Father, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus, and I thank you today. We thank you today for every tither, for every giver, for every family, for every individual, for every business person, Lord, that is connected to this ministry, Father God, through their giving. I declare in the name of Jesus, the windows of heaven open. I declare a blessing coming their way, Father God, that they don't have room enough to contain, for they are faithful, Father God, because they trust you, and because their faith is at that level, Father God, I declare that the seed that they're sowing today will bring forth a harvest, Lord, their way in ways that money cannot buy, yes. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I declare breakthrough, prosperity, abundance in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.
Hi, my name is Luisa, and I'm a leader at Word of Life Santa Barbara. On behalf of Pastor Miguel, Pastor Lily, and the entire Word of Life Church family, we want to welcome you to our online services. Go ahead and hit the share button so your friends and your family can enjoy today's message as well. I want to share with you some ways that you can give your tithe and your offering. The first way that you can give your tithe and your offering is by going to WOLSB.com. The second way that you can give is by downloading our app. When you're on the website, go ahead and download the app and you can give through our app. Another way that you can give is by mailing your tithe and your offering to Word of Life Santa Barbara, P.O. Box 634, Santa Barbara, California, 93102. And finally, you can text the word GIVE to the phone number 562-724-4531. We want to welcome you. We thank you for being here. Have an amazing and blessed day.
It happened. The unthinkable. The shift that showed our frailty. Nonetheless, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. We are separated. We are isolated. And in this world, we have trouble. Nonetheless, we take heart because Jesus has overcome the world. We are conflicted and frustrated, weary too. But nonetheless, those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. We are down but not out, sidelined but still in the game. We fight for our families, we hold on to love, we strive for kindness, but the hard times get harder. Nonetheless, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. We walk through adversity. We are sons and daughters of the Most High. We know to whom we belong, and we know where our hope lies. For He is the first and the last, the Alpha and Omega, the one who is and the one who is to come. It looks bleak, they say it's grim, there's a lot to fear, but nonetheless, we are strong. We are courageous. We are the church.
Again, thank you for joining us. This is Pastor Miguel Montano. In case you're joining us a little late today, again, thank you for joining us today. It's a tremendous blessing to have you here with us. You know, today I want to continue on something that we started last week, speaking a little bit about the church, the institution of the church, though. But before we go on, I want to just take a moment to pray and unite our faith together as we believe to hear from God today. Father, we come before you in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, Lord. And we pray that this morning, your Holy Spirit will minister to our hearts, Father God. We remove every distraction, Father God, and we pray that today your Holy Spirit will meet every single individual where they at, Father God. Elevate our lives, Lord, by your Spirit in Jesus' mighty name. If you agree with me, type amen and amen in the comments. You know, today, I want to start by with a scripture that we read last week out of the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 18. What it says, I'm going to read you real quick. What it says, Jesus says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it." Another translation says, "The gates of hell will not be able to stand against us." Now, you know, and we discussed this before, but you know that the church is not the facility. The church is the people. I am the church. Can you type in the comments, "I am the church"? Can you turn to the person next to you if you're with someone and tell them, "You are the church"? Can you type it in the comments, "You are the church"? Can you type, "We are the church"? I am the church, you are the church, and we are the church. You know, the church is not a building, it's not a facility per se, but a group of people that have decided to put Jesus Christ in the forefront of their lives, and they're advancing His kingdom on the earth. You know, the church is magnificent, and as we spoke last week, it's a very uncommon, the church is a very uncommon place, because it's a place with a group of imperfect people come to worship a perfect God. And He shows up and miracles, signs, and wonders take place. You know, I like to say a quote, something that I heard years ago, a quote that says, "The local church is the hope of the world." The local church is the hope of the world. The church is the only institution that care enough about individuals to make sure that our soul, that our hearts are well. The church is the only place in the planet Earth that cares that our hearts are well. Now, in life, stuff happens. I don't have to tell you that. You know that. We all know that. Stuff happens, and sometimes stuff that happens can potentially crush our hearts and crush our souls. Stuff can happen in life in general that can potentially just destroy an individual. So things happen that can potentially get you to a place of complete and total brokenness. And if we are honest with ourselves and we kind of dig a little bit into it, a big part of hearts that are crushed, hearts that are broken, a big part of it comes from people. Because people have a way of getting to people, if you know what I mean. I like what Pastor Lily was saying earlier, that, you know, when we get to this environment that we're living real close with each other and spending more time with each other than never before, so sometimes people start getting on people's nerves, because people have an ability to get on people's nerves, if you know what I mean. Don't type it in the comments. I asked a friend some time ago, and I said, what is the number one reason that people join ministry? And number one reason why an individual joined ministry? And they said, people. And I said, what is the number one reason that an individual leaves ministry? And they say, people. People have a way of getting into our hearts. People have a way to kind of getting into our lives, in a sense. So today, I just want to take a moment just to bring a different light, a different perspective that I pray will be a blessing to all of us. And I'm going to start talking a little bit about David. Can you type it in the comments? Can you type King David? Now, King David was a man's man. And King David is one of the few individuals in the Bible that we get to see two perspectives of his life. In other words, King David, as you know, he wrote a lot of the book of Psalms. Most of the Psalms were written by him. So the Psalms give us a perspective, a picture of what's going on in his life from the inside. But then in the book of 1st, 2nd Kings, in the book of Samuel, you also hear his story from the outside, told by someone, and then you hear in the book of Psalms from the inside, in a sense. And if you study a little bit, there is a correlation to a lot of Psalms to different seasons of David's life. For instance, you know, Psalms 51, when David committed sin, and he was, he organized, he was the mastermind behind a plot, a murder for hire. And he committed, you know, he was behind the murder of Uriah and committed adultery. You heard the story. That's when he repented after that took place and he came to his senses and the Holy Spirit reached out to him. The Bible says that he wrote Psalms 51 where he, you know, goes before the Lord and repents. So a lot of Psalms have a correlation to different times and seasons in his life. Now, David's resume was like no other. Many Bible scholars believe that David, he was around 15 years old when he killed Goliath. Now, see if this makes sense. He was around 15 when he killed Goliath, but he said that God delivered him from the lion and the bear. So God delivered him from the lion and the bear before he was 15. You imagine your 13, 14 year old kid comes home one day and you say, how was your day at the field? Ah, daddy, nothing going on. I just killed a lion today and I killed a bear the other day too. So you can see that David's resume was like no other. At a young age, he was already fighting the lion and the bear. And then when he was 15, when all the men of Israel, when they were afraid of this guy called Goliath at 15 years old, the little shepherd boy, he stepped to the plate and he slayed the giant. In other words, David was no sissy. David was a man's man. David was a tough guy, if you will. However, you see in the Bible that throughout his life, there was a lot of rejection in his life. Some Bible scholars, they believe that David was born out of wedlock. If you read the scripture, when the prophet Nathan the prophet came to Jesse's house, to David's father's house, to anoint whoever was going to be king, because Nathan knew that one of Jesse's son was going to be king. So the Bible says that Jesse got all his kids there, all his sons there. But the prophet said, I'm not feeling any of these guys. I'm not digging them. I don't know. No, I'm not sure. It's none of them. And the Bible says that he says, I have one more boy, David. So it is believed that he was born out of wedlock. And he was not part of the family. He was rejected by his father. He was also rejected by his brothers. When he goes, the dad one day, you heard the story, the dad one day goes and takes, tells him, hey, your brothers are in the battlefield. I want you to take some cheese and some crackers and some burritos. Come on, somebody. Take some tacos to them. And the Bible says, so when he got there, his brothers said to him, what are you doing here? Get out of here. Get out of here. So they didn't want his brothers. There was not a great relationship. And also the Bible says that King Saul, his boss, his mentor, supposed to be to a certain degree, tried to kill David a few times. The Bible says that his wife mocked him. So think about everyone around him was rejecting him for a lot. You know, you can see a lot of that in scripture. However, there's a point in the Bible, out of the book of Psalms, chapter 54, where David writes his perhaps most profound writings when it comes to giving us a picture of what was going on in his heart, giving us a picture of his soul. It's unvarnished, it's raw, it's uncovered. Think about those words as I read you. The book of Psalms, chapter 55, verses 4 through 6. It says, "My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said," watch what David says, "Oh, that I had wings like a bird, I will fly away and be at rest." What will cause a person like David, a man's man, a person that fought the lion, the bear, the Philistines, more battles than any other king in Israel? What will bring this man to his knees, per se, for him to say, "I wish I had wings like a bird. Man, if I could just escape out of this place, I will be gone forever." I don't know if you've ever been in a place like that in life, that you just want to disappear. You want to escape forever. He says, "If I could just leave this home, I would just go and will never turn back." You know what happened to him? His son Absalom rebelled against him. And this scripture, Psalms 55, takes place when his own flesh turned against him. Think about what I'm saying, because I'm speaking about your heart. When I'm talking about being broken, his son turned on him. Everybody else were outsiders, per se. You know, his wife, King Saul, even his dad to a certain degree. But this is flesh of his flesh, bone of his bones, turned against him. So my first point today is, only those that are close to your heart can hurt you. And that's why it hurts. You know, oftentimes I said, you know, I'm a happy-go individual. You know, I'm careless about what anybody says about me. You know, sometimes people say things, you know, I'm walking on the street, they yell at me, "Hey, good-looking guy." No, just kidding. No, they don't do that. But I don't care what anyone says about me. You know, anybody can say whatever, I'm like, brush it off. But if my wife says something about me, oh, no, 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 I got to stop. You know, in other words, I can wear whatever. I can wear whatever shirt. No one cares. I care, whatever. Okay. But if my wife says, "Oh, that shirt is whatever, whatever," I go change that shirt immediately. Because only those close to your heart can hurt you. Watch this. I'll read you out of the book of Psalms, chapter 55, verses 12 through 14. And it says, only those close to your heart can hurt you. It says, "For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is one who hates me who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, my man, my equal, my companion, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throne." In other words, only people that are close to our hearts can hurt us. Only people that we take, per se, our shield and our armor off in front of them, that we expose ourselves to them. That's why I always tell people, be careful that you don't open yourself too much, too soon, to people that you know too little about them. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of your heart flows the issues of life. Another translation says, guard your heart. You have to guard your heart, like protect your heart. Because a lot of times people don't know how to handle their own hearts. And what happens is that they let their guards down with other people that they don't know too well, and they mishandle their hearts. So the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of your heart flows the issues of life. Your life is a result of whatever your heart is. So you have to guard your heart from people around you, because sometimes we don't know people too good. And sometimes, you know, the Bible says test the spirits. And sometimes we haven't seen the fruit of people. And we tend to trust people that we don't know their fruit. So the Bible says, hey, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of your heart flows the issues of life. Number two, when it comes to relationships, when it comes to people, when it comes to our heart, number two, misplaced expectations will always lead to disappointment. You know, no one can complete you. Watch it. I'm gonna say it one more time. Misplaced expectations will always lead to disappointment. No one can complete you but God. And I say this, it is very unfair, extremely unfair, for you to expect your spouse to complete you. Your spouse may love you, but they cannot complete you. You know, every once in a while, people come to me and, you know, they want to get married and we do some marriage counseling. And I start with this. I said, man, if you are thinking that him or her are going to complete you, I got news for you. It will never happen. In fact, I always say that marriage is like an amplifier of whoever the person is. Marriage is like 10 times whatever there's. If they're hardworking individuals, when they get married, you're going to notice that they're hard workers 10 times more. But if they're lazy, when you get married, you're going to notice that they're lazy 10 times more. If they have bad breath now, oh, Jesus. When you get married, you're going to realize, oh, Jesus, 10 times more. If they're loving now, when you get married, they're going to be loving 10 times more. If they care for you now, when you get married, they're going to care for you 10 times more. But you can never place an expectation on an individual to fulfill you, because they don't have the capacity nor the ability. They love you. They're sincere. They want to be there for you. They will be with you until the end, but they don't have the capacity nor the ability to complete you. Only God can complete you. No family member, watch this, no career can complete you. No individual, money, fame, you name it, no one but God can complete you. So it's unfair for you to place an expectation. That's what sometimes we see this in people, that they place an expectation in something to complete them. If I can only have that job, and I can only have that job, and then they get the job, but they feel the same way, because the job will never complete you. Only God can complete you. You know, some time ago, some years ago, I watched a documentary, and I've showed this in the church before, and it was a documentary about Lady Gaga. I don't know if you know who Lady Gaga is. Rah, 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 rah. I don't know. And in the documentary, they were following her for some time while she was doing some concerts and so forth. And it's very interesting, because at a point in time, she is at the Madison Square Garden in the middle of one of her big shows. Imagine the venue, the Madison Square Garden, New York City in Manhattan. I mean, like, down. This is like the Mecca, the top. I mean, she's right there at the top of her career. And she's between sets, and they're doing her makeup and her hair and so forth. And I'm going to read you, because I don't want to misquote this. This is what she says. This is Lady Gaga. You can look this up yourself. She says, I just sometimes feel like a loser still, you know? It's crazy, because it's like we are here at the Madison Square Garden, but I still sometimes feel like a loser kid in high school. And I just gotta pick myself up, and I gotta tell myself, you are a superstar every morning. I gotta do that in order to go through the day. Hear me out. She arrived, in a sense, expecting that her musical career will fulfill her. But guess what? It never will. Because only God can fulfill you. Number three. Even in God-ordained divine connection relationships, both sides must agree. Well, Jesus. Even in a marriage covenant, both sides must what? must agree. You know, sometimes I see this in ministry, that God has ordained certain relationships in ministry, but one individual don't see it that way, and they exit out of the relationship. Can I tell you this? You know, in ministry, you know, sometimes people come and people go. Man, I tell you, it hurts a lot when people leave. But I'm here to tell you, I know that I'm answering my side of the ministry. I just got to pray that the other side, people want, people answer their side. So I'm here to tell you, regardless of what happens in your life, you got to remember, you got to accept the fact that there's another side to relationships, and people must accept the responsibility on that side of the relationship. You do yours, but they have to do theirs as well. Number four, and we're almost done. I only have 65 points today, and we are out of here. Just kidding. I pray you stay until the end. This is going to be real good. Number four, they are always two tanks when it comes to a relationship. There's giving and there's receiving. There's a sacrifice and there's a reward. In other words, there's always two tanks in a relationship. It can never be all one way, me, 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 me. No, there are things that you have to give in a relationship that sometimes is sacrificial. It's not comfortable for you, but as part of the relationship, you know, we all about rewards. Have you ever thought about that? The way we are wired, we are about rewards. The Bible says that God is a rewarder of those that seek him. The Bible says that there's a reward in heaven. The Bible says give and it will be given back to you. So there, we're reward-based individuals. So we have to be ready in a relationship to regard. Now, when a person in a relationship is only me, myself, and I, me, myself, my needs, that relationship won't last, because there's always two sides to a relationship. In other words, there's a give, a sacrificial given, and there's the receive. There's a reward to it. Now, having said that, you know, in life, our needs do change. You know, as time progress, our needs do change. Can you write it in the comments? Can you say, my needs do change? Yeah, our needs do change. So we have to be ready. In other words, there's people around us that are constantly what? Changing. So I have to be able to make adjustments in my life when it comes to giving, when it comes to receiving in a relationship. You know, our children, they change, they're growing. You grow yourself, so you change people around you. Sometimes people say, well, you're not the same person that you were yesterday. Well, who is? No one is the same person. We are constantly what? Changing. So we have to learn how to manage and adjust to change when it comes to relationships. Now, you know, no one is the same, but, you know, we get older, you know, sometimes certain attitudes try to creep in. So we have to know how to get rid of those. We have to know that those that are around us, those people, remember, only people around you can hurt you. In other words, those that are around us, you got to understand that they also change. So you got to be willing to make adjustments yourself based on the way they're changing. And we are almost done. This is my last one before the last one. You cannot stop people from doing things to you, but you can stop their poison from killing you. The choice is yours. You see, sometimes people do stuff to us, and if we're not careful, we allow, and I'm going to show you in a moment what David did, because in the beginning of the Psalms, he's basically opening his heart about the challenge he was going to. But trust me, that Psalms ends real, real good. The same way your life and my life are going to end. My life are going to end. People have poison in their lives, and they do stuff to us. But that poison sometimes wants to kill the person God created you to be. In other words, if you are a loving person and you are a forgiving person, and somebody takes advantage of you, somebody mishandles your heart, somebody repeatedly does this thing to you, the first thing that people say, oh, I got trust issues. I got people issues. In other words, what we're saying is, because someone did something to me, the person that was inside of me that God called to be forgiven, that person is no longer there, because now I'm having a hard time forgiving. No. You cannot stop people from doing things to you, but you can stop their poison from killing you. The key to overcome hurt is never to allow the hurt to change you. The key to overcome hurt, I'm going to show you in a moment, is never to allow the hurt to change you. When an individual says, I'm going to stop doing whatever because this and this happened. You know what? And as I shared this in the church some time ago. It's like me saying, someone hurt me. You know, I was helping someone. I was, helping an individual and he hurt me or she hurt me. So I'm going to stop helping people because someone hurt me. And I said, wow, because of one person, you're going to deprive those that are ahead of you in your life from you to helping them because one person hurt you? No, the key to overcome hurt is to never allow hurt to change you. The Bible says, this is verse 22, and I'm almost done. Cast your burdens on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. So what do I do when someone hurts you? When someone tries to poison you with their hurt, I give it to God. I give it to the Lord. You've been vaccinated from that poison with God's love. The Bible says that his love has been shed in our hearts by the Holy Spirit in the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 5. So what do? You give it to the Lord. And then you refuse to get bitter. You keep loving. You keep forgiving, you keep giving, you keep sacrificing, you keep embracing, you keep volunteering, you just keep doing what you were doing before. You give it to the Lord, and then you just keep doing what you were doing before. If you want to laugh at the devil in his face, you say, you know what, devil, in the name of Jesus, I know they hurt me, but I choose to give it to the Lord, and I'm just going to keep doing what God called me to do. I'm just going to keep forgiving, I'm going to keep trusting. I'm going to keep giving. I'm going to keep embracing. I'm going to just keep on going because I'm not going to allow that poison to touch my heart. And today I just want to take a moment and I'm just going to open this. We have never done this before, but we're going to do it today. If you need prayer in your life, maybe something terrible happened to you. Maybe someone did something terrible to you and you are hurt in your heart and you feel broken in your heart because of what he or she did. And you say, Pastor, I'm trying to walk this thing through, but it feels like I'm stuck. It feels like I'm having a hard time getting to the other side. Maybe you started the process, but maybe there's still some poison in you in a sense, or you're still trying to get this poison out of your life. I'm going to ask you to send us a message. Send us a message today, and we're gonna pray for you, and we're gonna help you. Maybe what you need today is someone to be right beside you and just to encourage you, to lift you up and say, you know what? I know someone hit you from the side. I know it was unexpected. I know they were too close to you. I know that you have known better, but today God wants to help you. I'm here for you. Let me lift you up, and let's walk together in Jesus' name. So if you've been hurt, you say, Pastor, there's something in my heart. Someone did something to me. I'm still struggling getting out of this mess. I want to encourage you today to hit us up in the DM and the messages. Send us a message. Maybe say, go to our website and send us a message there. Whatever it is, just reach out to us. And one of our leaders will gladly call you, pray with you, encourage you, lift you up, fire you up in order for you to continue the destiny that God called you to fulfill. Because remember, the key to overcome hurt is never to allow the hurt to change you. You remain the same person. Like David says, he shall never permit the righteous to be moved. You stay fixed on the person that God created you to be. Thank you again for watching. I'm going to just take a moment. I assume nothing about your life. I know nothing about you, but perhaps today you're watching and you're not sure about your relationship with God. Maybe you're watching today and you like the word, but you're not sure what to do next. But I'm here to tell you that God loves you. That God is in love with you. That God loves you so much. He loves you so much that he wants you to spend eternity by his side. God is so in love with you that he wants you next to him for eternity. But there's a problem. You see, he's a perfect God, and we are imperfect people. He's a holy God, we're sinful people. In the Old Testament, they used to sacrifice an animal for the sins of the people. The Bible says that an animal must be sacrificed in order to pay the price for the sins of the people. But one day God says, I don't want to do that anymore. And the Bible says that he loves you so much that he sent his son to be the last sacrifice that we will ever need. So he loves you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for me and you. And today, in order to be with God for eternity, in order for you to know that if you're, when your life expires, that you're gonna be with him for eternity, the only thing me and you have to do is to understand and recognize we cannot save ourselves. We need our Savior, and our Savior is Jesus Christ. The only thing we have to do is to receive Jesus in our hearts. So I'm gonna ask you, whatever you might be, to bow your heads and close your eyes, and I'm gonna lead you in a simple prayer, and then we'll go from there. Is that okay? If you are saying today, Pastor, I would like to open my heart to Jesus. I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want heaven to be my home. Just close your eyes for a moment and repeat this prayer with me. Say, Dear God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. And today, I give you my heart. I give you my life. Today, I confess that Jesus is my Lord, that he died on the cross for my sins because God loved me. And today, I receive forgiveness of sins. I cannot save myself. I need a Savior. And God sent Jesus to be my Savior. I thank you, Father, that with that simple prayer, heaven is my home. My life has been changed. I've been moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of life. I thank you, Father, that today is the best day of my life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Congratulations. Thank you so much for praying that prayer with us. And I pray, if this is the very first time that you have prayed that prayer, or perhaps you have been backslidden, you've been away from God for the season, but today you're making a commitment to come back to him, please let us know. We will love to reach out to you and to be in contact with you and to help you in this walk with the Lord. And I said to everybody, thank you for joining us. Remember, this Wednesday night at 7 p.m., you don't want to miss it. Instagram Live and Facebook Live. Come back and join us. God bless you. We love you heaps. And go and have the best Sunday you could ever have in Jesus' name. I declare that today is the best day of your life. Love you. Thank you so much for watching today.